America's financial reform law turns four today as critics swarm.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. 6 years ago this fall, the wheels fell off the financial system with the real estate collapse, the sudden end of Lehman Brothers and beyond. 4 years ago today, the financial reform law named after then-Senator Chris Dodd and then-Congressman Barney Frank came into being. The Dodd-Frank law is a wide-reaching package of reforms, and some of its details have yet to be put into force by regulators. But at its center are changes designed to prevent the government from having to bail out big financial firms when those firms' bets go bad. Jeffrey Manns is Associate Professor of Law at George Washington University.
There are concrete successes that are making a difference right now, and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau would be the poster child of the successes of the Act. But there's an awful lot of unfinished business, whether it be regulations that have been implemented, and we don't know quite how they will pan out, regulations that have been finalized but not fully implemented, such as with the Volcker Rule and limits on proprietary trading, and yet still areas where regulators have mandates that they have yet to fulfill or even to fully grapple with, even though we're 4 years out.
House Republicans today will issue a 100-page report calling for changes to Dodd-Frank, which they believe has not fixed the problem of too big to fail. Many Democrats will agree with that assessment, but not in some of the proposed solutions. Now to how people under 30 save when they save. These are folks who saw what the financial collapse did to stock and other investment portfolios, and now, when they get their own money, they tend to be very, very conservative. Dan Bobkoff reports.
Amanda Moffitt is 30, so she was just getting settled when the economy tanked.
It was 2008, and so there was a lot of concern about the stock market and, you know, what could possibly happen to your money when you invest it.
And it turns out that attitude has stuck among young adults.
They are the most risk-averse group.
Greg McBride is chief financial analyst at Bankrate. Its new survey shows that once under 30s have some money to save, they're very cautious.
But they prefer cash by a 3-to-1 margin over the stock market and for money that they're not going to need for at least 10 years.
That could be too conservative, as savings accounts don't keep up with inflation.
Kind of gets us back to that depression mindset of hiding your cash under the mattress.
David Welliver is editor of MoneyUnder30.com. Part of the problem is choice overload.
The thousands of investment choices and all the conflicting advice out there. So I think a lot of it is they just sit tight and do nothing.
As for Amanda Moffitt, she's wised up. She's working to become a financial planner. I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
Governments and nonprofits struggle with shrinking tax revenues and donations. That often puts social programs in jeopardy. A new movement tries to fill some of the gap with money from banks. But the twist is those banks are not donors but investors who stand to make a profit on social services. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports from New York on America's first social impact bond.
Every inch of the lobby here at Goldman Sachs is designed to quietly remind you that billions are made here. Expensive walls with expensive art towering over expensive floors. It's about as far as you can get from this place.
There's a purpose for me in this life.
So those four things, I think you summed it up.
This is Rikers Island, New York City's most notorious prison. The 16 to 18-year-old inmates in this classroom face grim stats. About half are likely to be back within a year after getting out. This class aims to change that.
Step six is all about becoming a good force in the world.
It's not easy to find money for programs like this. The $9.6 million came from an unusual source, Goldman Sachs, in a social impact bond with the city. Goldman VP Andrea Phillips says, like all bonds, the bank could profit or lose money.
Goldman doesn't earn any return unless the city reaps significant savings on the decrease in recidivism.
If the program cuts recidivism by 10%, Goldman gets its money back. If it falls more, Goldman profits. Susan Gottesfeld is Associate Executive Director at the Osborne Association, a nonprofit teaching the class.
If banks who make lots of money are interested in using that money to make something possible that otherwise would not be, we're very open to that.
The basic case for social impact bonds is they risk bank money instead of taxpayer dollars. The worry is that it's a bad and untested idea to mingle services for the poor with bank profits.
I understand. I think I understand the discomfort with that.
But she says the venture's going well. Now other nonprofits call for advice on striking bank deals of their own. Luis Rivera works near Coney Island, far better waters than those around Rikers Island, where he did time for attempted burglary. He says the program showed him how to give his 2-year-old son, Landon, a better future.
I want to teach him that life doesn't have to be that for him, regardless of where you come from, because life's not about the things you go through, it's about the choices that you make when you go through them.
An independent group will report on the program's impact next year. If it succeeds, expect many more banks, governments, and charities buying in to social impact bonds. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And the Financial Times sat down with the second richest man on the planet, Carlos Slim, the telecom and media tycoon from Mexico. Slim has an idea that would radically change our lives. How about if everybody worked 3 days a week? They would be 11-hour days in Mr. Slim's conception, but fact is many of us already do that. Slim wants us to have a better work-life balance, and he is in the media business after all. He's also interested in the business opportunities of more free time. Quote, having 4 days off would be important to generate new entertainment activities and other ways of being occupied. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.